purpose. Lately, I feel that way. When God works in your life and you see it happening, even when he doesn't work and you don't see it happening, he's always working. And you don't see it, he's still God. And I think we have to decide that before we ever, if you're going to make Jesus your Lord, then that becomes a part of it. It's whatever happens in my life, he's still my Lord. And he's the kind of Lord you can actually be frustrated and talk to him about it. He's okay with that. He will listen to you. I appreciate Scott welcoming you. It's so good to see so many new people here. Some of you have been here, and I didn't get to meet you yet till today. So God bless you all for being here. And we don't just say that every week. It's literally new people in our building. And if all of our regulars will come regularly on a regular Sunday, and all the guests come, there won't be enough room to hold everybody in here, which will be a great blessing. I can't wait till that day happens. We're already talking two services and trying to prepare for more empty seats so we can have more opportunity for people to come in here. Although today is not about in here, it's about out there. It's about out there. And if I would just be honest with you, our whole life needs to be about out there more than in here. And we put, I guess it just went out today. It's like, it's gone, man. We're going to give this one more chance, and we're going to have a baptism service for this microphone right here. Yep. I'm going to be calling me some people to fix it. But where was I? No. Making our life about Jesus is the whole point of all the reason we exist. I shared with the group this morning that last night I got to share my testimony about my cancer being gone to a group of people. We did our 50s and 60s show over in Florence. The Freitas were there. Connor was there. It was fun, man. We had a great time. I'm probably the only preacher on the planet that's ever played Wipeout on a church stage. And because where we play is at Cross Point Church over there, and they're gracious to give us their building to use that. Big crowd. And I played Wipeout. When I finished Wipeout, because I'm wiped out, and I need a little break for the next song just to gather my thoughts and my body back together. And the older I get, the less I like playing Wipeout, but it's fun. And when I finished, I just took the mic and stood up behind my drums and said, you guys need to know something. A lot of those folks knew about my cancer diagnosis back in October, but they had not heard the news that it was resolved. And I didn't get that news till last week. And what a blessing, man, it was to be able to stand before those people and just share a testimony in that time and in that moment. And there were people literally afterwards that came up to me afterwards and said, oh, your story touched my heart this way. Or I had a friend that did this or what. And just story after story after story. It was really hard to get out of there after sharing that. It's what a blessing that is. And I just want to encourage you and encourage me. I shared, y'all have to remember, y'all go, if you go back, if you've been here at all any length of time, I determined that I would share the testimony before I got the results of the cancer stuff. Because here's what you have to understand, and the reason today's message is so important is that we win either way. That death does not have any power over us. Now, it will one day, if the Lord doesn't come back before, it will overtake us one day, and we will all die at some point somehow. But we don't see that. Scripture says it this way. We don't sorrow. We don't walk around, you know. We don't sorrow like other people who have no confidence. Bible hope is not, well, I hope I die on a good day and God's not mad. You know, it's confidence that we're not going to die on a good day because we're human. And when we go, don't put your trust in that. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, well, man, I just don't know if I'm going to make it or not. I'm not gonna, and all of that's a skewed version of who God is. We believe and we trust in him. Now, there's this concept in our world, and let me say this before I start the message. We're in week 4 of a series I've called Frame. The first week we talked about frame and what that means. A frame sits on a foundation and holds things together to build things. And we've just kind of reorganized our church. And this series has come out of that organization trying to help us understand. Message number 2 was how we encounter God. That includes what we do in this building and on Sunday mornings. But it's more than just that. And we've got people leading that and supporting that whole way of moving people, if you will. It's like a vehicle. We move people toward Jesus because we're not the point. We're not the point. I love doing what I do up here. I enjoy playing. Last night was fun, but today was incredible. Y'all see what I'm saying? I enjoyed last night, but today, enjoy is not even enough word to say what it's like to sit in this room with you guys and worship. So that's encounters. And then last week, we talked about the campus, and the campus is where us camps and that kind of thing. We're here, and we come together as gatherings in this building to do things out there for God. And I will say this, every church I've ever been a part of says that. I've never been a part of a church that says, well, we don't want to do outreach. But I've had lots of experience with churches who didn't do outreach. They didn't look it out there as much as they looked in here. I had one church hire me because they said, we want you to come because we've become introverted. We need to be more extroverted as a church. And it was so interesting that the more extroverted we became, the more uncomfortable people got. I don't know about this. We wanted to get out there, but not that particular or not that particular way. Or that we weren't talking about that. And I think a lot of times when we talk about outreach, it freaks us out to the point that we get scared and we let the enemy overrule our mind. And I'm going to talk about why we don't have to do that today. And here's something you need to understand. Our world is a universalistic world. What I mean by that is there's this concept of universalism that says all religions lead to God, or all spiritual things lead to God. It doesn't matter if you're Hindu or Buddhist or you know, what you can list all the religions you've got, you know, Muslim, all these things, or a Christian. It doesn't matter because all roads lead to God. I think Oprah made that really famous by one of her interviews one time. She said that. I remember that quote, all roads lead to God. That is not true. Doesn't matter who says it, that's not true. Universalism is a danger because what it's got people in the mind of, and I hear it at funerals all the time, is a guy could be a hellion all of his life and never serve Jesus, never come to Christ, and never name him as Lord. We still go, oh, he was a great guy, and just, you know, whatever. I don't preach people into heaven or out of heaven. It's not my job. It's not your job to judge people based upon whether or not they're going to heaven. So get that in your mind now. That you and I do not get to look at someone that says because of your actions or your lack of actions, you're going to be lost or be saved. But the word gives us this authority. Is this thing popping and cracking? Do I need to get rid of this, Nemo? Do I need to change, brother? I don't know. I don't know. Is it distracting to you guys? Because it's really bothering me. And so, all right. So y'all pray for the production guys who sold us this microphone. I'm going to talk to them this week. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how long this one lasts. Let me kill this one. Did I get the right one, brother? This is 4. All right. Thank you, sir. I love our sound guys. Y'all give it up for our sound people back there. They're awesome. They're awesome. It's so funny. Anytime something goes wrong in a church sound-wise, everybody goes, what are you doing back there? They look back like, you know, just when you look back, remember Lot's wife. That's all I got to say. But anyway, all right. So, and if you don't know what that means, you need to go look up Lot's wife and figure out what that means. But read your Bible more. But no, this concept of universalism teaches us that everybody's okay, and you're okay, and I'm okay, and we're all okay, and we're not okay. Some people are lost, and there's nothing worse for a lost person most of the time in our culture than to hear you say they're lost. Lost people don't like to be told they're lost. It's almost like the guy drowning, and he's just saying, I'm good, man, I'm good. Y'all, I don't need any of that. Don't throw me a life preserver. I'm good. And I think the reason that is that way is because of the way in which we tell people they're lost. It's not about telling them or not telling them. They have to know, but it's how we tell them that matters. And you can say what you want to. If you grew up like me in older culture, you could just tell somebody, hey, you're lost. You need some help. And it was a lot different in our world. Anyway, I'm getting off the subject, but you see what I'm saying. Here's something you need to get in your head before I finish this message, and that is this. There is only one way to get to God and to get to eternity in heaven. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Now, we say amen in here. But it's those people we see every day in our life and we go, I want to tell him so bad, but I just don't know if I can tell him or not. And we take 2 steps forward and 6 back because we're afraid. And I'm going to show you today why you don't have to be fearful of that. Jesus walked with these 12 guys and lots of other disciples. There was women involved as well. There was lots of disciples, but there were 12 apostles. And he walked with these, and he commissioned these 12. Well, actually, 11, you know, Judas betrayed him, and he died a gruesome death. And then we have Matthias come on, and later on you have Paul. But every one of them were commissioned by Christ, and they were taught to go out in the world and to tell about him and to further the kingdom. So God trusted 12, most of them unlearned and ignorant, the Bible says. That doesn't mean they were stupid. It just means they didn't go to school. They didn't have a lot of book learning, we might call. They were very intelligent people for what they did. They had trades, and they did the things that they could do. So they weren't stupid. They were just ignorant to what was really coming. And I don't think until they received baptism of the Holy Spirit that they even knew what was happening. I think when Peter got it, because, you know, Peter's going, I don't even know who Jesus is. I don't know the man. He denied him three times. And just a few days later, you hear people go, Peter saying, you people killed the Son of God. He's Messiah, and we should have served him. And you, it's just amazing the difference. And the difference was Holy Spirit came on them, and that it came in them, and they began to preach this message that Jesus commissioned them to do. That trickles down to us. We don't just say we're here for the empty seat, for a nice, cute little slogan to put on a sign somewhere. Literally, it's not even original with me. I heard that from Craig Groeschel the first time. I thought, I love that concept so much that I want to portray the idea that every seat in this room that's empty represents a person who needs Jesus. And if you want to say that to your business or whatever, however you want to do that, just make sure you keep in your mind that it is so important that we understand it's not a slogan. Slogan, what is that? It's not a slogan. It's a mandate. That means it's mandatory for believers to tell other people what God's doing in your life. And you don't have to be afraid because of this. Jesus said this, one of the last things he says to his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are on mission, commissioned by our Lord and Master. If you say Jesus is Lord, you're signing on to a mission. You're signing on to outreach. Whether you're on that team in our church or whatever, that may look different for all of us, and that's okay. It's going to look different because not everybody's gifted as evangelists. But the ones who are and the ones who aren't are still responsible for sharing their story with somebody else. And we need to simplify a lot of it for people. It is a privilege to share my testimony. And don't wait till you get a testimony to share your testimony. If you can't understand already that if God did nothing else for me on the planet except forgive me of my sins, which he's already done, that's really all I need. I mean, we have to settle on that fact. Because here's the truth. Whether you're online, listen, by the way, we love you. Thank you for being here. If you're online or you're in this building, wherever, every human serves a master somewhere. Every one of us do. And we all by nature have to serve somebody. God put that within us. And I think he put the real thing down inside of us that he wants us to serve him. It is our highest calling of our daily lives to be able to share Jesus with somebody else. And the sooner we get, if this would ever catch fire again, we get so used to coming and riding Christianity out. We sit in the buildings and we say, we got this really cool building, and we do. If you saw where we came from, I talked about it last week, this is such a better facility for us. But we have to keep out of our head that it's all about here. It's here, and I love here, and I love being with you guys. We all love that. We're going to keep saying this over and over again. Our highest calling of our daily lives is to find people who don't know Jesus and help them know Jesus. It's to find people who are disenfranchised from Jesus. That's the people who they say church hurt. I've had church hurt. Can I just share something with you? Now, if you've had church hurt, please don't be offended by this. But it's become an excuse. It's become an excuse for people. Well, I've been hurt by church, so I guess I'm just going to cancel out on church because I don't trust. Listen, you cannot serve God without the church. You think you can. You say, well, I'm better by myself. I don't have all those people to deal with. You're right. You're right. Because as soon as you start dealing with people, it's going to be problems. And the bigger we get, the more opportunity for problems we're going to have. So we have to pre-decide how we're going to deal with it. Sometimes people deal with it with complaints, and I just don't know how to, and I'm just whine. As a pastor, sometimes I don't do this. I wish I would probably do it more. In the strength of who we are as men, and by the way, men, sometimes you need to step up in your family and look at your family and say, stop whining, we're going to church, or stop whining, we're going to serve the King. Stop whining, because we serve the Lord Jesus, who's the master of us all. We're not going to whine anymore and become less. Israel did it all the time. God, why'd you bring us out of Egypt? We loved Egypt. We go back with, they just complain all the time. Moses got like, Lord, why'd you give me these people? Listen, I'm the same kind of people you are. I get caught up in it. And we need each other. You need to be a part of the kingdom. Don't stay disenfranchised from church because somebody upsets you. Because when you jump and go to another one, there's going to be people in it. Or you jump out of it and you go to work, there's people over there. And you jump, and I get it. We got to be better. We want to be better. But at the same time, it's an excuse. And then we're seeking people who are just want a deeper relationship with Christ. And that's what we're trying to do here. We have a place to be able to do that. And so people who are lost are going to eternally be separated from God if we don't do something. You say, man, that's just too much pressure for me. It's not for me. It's what Jesus commissioned us to do. And it doesn't have to look all the same. I know what you're thinking. Well, I'm not going to stand on the stage and preach, or I'm not going to walk down the streets and knock on doors. I'm not. Evangelism looks so many different ways. I just wish we could understand that all you have to do is tell what Jesus did for you. That's it. I grew up in church, spoon-fed Jesus from the time I was born. My mama took me to church, and we were there every week when the doors were open, sometimes 5 days a week on meeting nights until meetings became 3 days a week. Now they're 1 day a week. We were there all the time and all those things. But my testimony is that because of my mama's faith, I gave my life to Jesus at 14. At 19, I began serving, trying to serve him in kingdom or mindedness and all those things. And my story is very simple. I grew up spoon-fed Jesus, and I found a relationship with him later on and really got more close to him and all of that. And now my life has become a personal testimony. And to get to do what I do and this be my living is like a dream come true for me. It really is. Now, I intended to be a rock and roll drummer. That's what I wanted to do. I idolized Peter Criss. If you don't know who that is what it is. I don't idolize him anymore. And I thank God every day that he took me out of that whole culture. And he put people in front of me that helped me be able to get to where I am. And so that's my testimony, my story. And so my story, when I tell my story, is you can have that as well. You can have that as well. That's evangelism. Would it take me 5 minutes to say that? It takes a long. Build relationships with people and so on. We're going to talk about a little bit of that as we go. I'm way behind already where I usually want to be. But one more thing before I get into the word, and that is this. The message of Jesus is not, hey, scumbag sinners, you low down, sorry, good for nothing things. If you don't turn, you're going to burn. Now, truth, we're all low down scumbag sinners. Some of us just saved and some of us are lost. And I'm so glad Jesus loves scumbags. I'm glad he loves people that doubted him and walked away from him. I'm so glad that he loves people that used to cuss like a sailor and still struggles with it from time to time. I love the fact that he loves pornographers and he loves child molesters and he loves gay people and he loves white, black, yellow, red, green, purple, whatever color you are. He loves us all. And the fact that he called me out of that, and he's calling you out of whatever those things I just said. He's calling you out of that means that he loves me enough that he spent the time. He got eternity to deal with. He's eternal God. He could have done it any way he wanted to. But he emptied himself of deity, and he came to this earth, and he lived 100% human on this planet so that he could live a perfect life, offer his life, his son as a sacrifice, and raise him up on a third day. Easter happens every day for us because of that. And that, my friends, is the way to share it. It's not you scumbag, get out of your scum. It's, hey, do you know how much you're loved by Heavenly Father? You have no idea. There's all kinds of ways to start this. But the message of the gospel is come close to Jesus and be remade in the likeness of his son. Be remade just like him. Just like Jesus. I think Max Lucado wrote a book about that. Just like Jesus. We want to be the Jesus was the express image of God. We want to be the express image of who he was in this world to other people. And that's what outreach is about. And that's why we have a whole section organized in our church to help with outreach. And so, and it's growing. That part of our church is growing. So how does this play out in our lives? First of all, first point, let's get some points. Pull your notes out. If you got notes when you came in, you should have got a page notes. If you want to go on our website, you can go on our website, discoveryal.church, and you can do them there and have them emailed to yourself. And which is incredible, by the way. That stuff don't just happen. So kudos to everybody who makes that happen. It's incredible. So first point today is this, that Christ's followers walk in authority. In this text, that text I read earlier, that is our text for today. I'm going to break it down real quick for you now, and that's this. Jesus said, I have been given how much authority? How much? All of it. All authority in heaven and on earth. And that's going to be extended in another verse in just a moment. But while on this earth, Jesus' words carried authority. He was able to forgive sins. He was able to heal people, but he had to do it in proximity to where he was. He was limited by space, by area, and he was limited in his ability to do everything in the same time. And so while on earth, he forgave sins. He did all those things, one person or one group at a time. And here's the cool thing. Now, after his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven, he is seated at the right hand of God. That's a place of authority. He's at the place of authority, and he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. He says all that, and it is true. Now, his power is not limited by space and time. His power is unlimited, and he's put it in me and you to spread it all over the world. To take that authority that we have. The only way I can preach this stuff, being the person that I am, and for those of you who know me best, you know my rottenness and some of the things that happens in my life. So for me to be able to do this is an express image of the authority of God in me. I can't say any of this stuff without his authority. It doesn't mean anything without his authority. It doesn't mean anything without Jesus. In fact, church, all this stuff is just a joke if Jesus is not real. So praise God he is. Praise God that he is. If you need some proof of that, I can help you with that. That's another sermon for another time. Here is how. Can I just say one thing about proof, and I'll come back to the message. This just hits my heart. Some people look so much for proof that they've damaged their faith trying to find proof. Don't damage your faith by trying to make sure you figure it all out. And if you have it all figured out, I'll be here at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. You come help me figure it out. Some of this stuff, you just have to go, you know what? I believe Jesus is who he is, and I'm going to serve him. Because the bottom line truth is, if we die and we're wrong, we just got to have some amazing worship to a God that wasn't real. But if we die, if they die and they're wrong, talking about the unbeliever, the people who don't claim him as authority, they've got an eternity to think about it, and it's not going to be good. Separated from God forever. But we don't want that for anybody. I love this text where Jesus, in Philippians, is so beautiful. Philippians 2 is about Jesus giving up his deity and coming to the earth and being fully human. It says this, therefore, since he did all of that and gave himself and all that, therefore God elevated him to the highest honor and gave him a name. Everybody say name. Name means something. Name means something. I can prove that to you. Put somebody else's driver's license in your pocket and get pulled over one day and hand them that. Yeah. That won't work. The name above all other names, not just every other name. His name is above all names. So the greatest person you can think of in your life, Jesus is over and above that. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, just in case we missed somebody. It's like Jesus is saying, Paul's writing to the Philippians and he said, look, you can't find a place where Jesus is not in authority. I've said this from this stage, and I'll keep saying it. If they find aliens out there somewhere, they must bow to the name of Jesus because he created it all. He created his authority goes way beyond just what we imagine to do. And that's why what you say when you start talking Jesus, you're affected much more than just what's happening. And I'm going to see some stuff in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. Every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You can confess him now or you can confess him later, but you will confess him. You will say Jesus is Lord. And you will say it in full belief. If you don't do it here, you will do it there. That's I think I'm right about that. And all things universally fall under his authority. I know that the devil's the god of this world. Jesus says that. He's the god of this world. He's got in control of a lot of things. But it's only by the allowance of what I'm telling you, God is in control of it all over and above that. Satan has no authority in my life anymore. We walk in that kind of authority. When Jesus prayed, he told the disciples to pray. He said, you pray like this, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We made that a model prayer and something we just recite at ball games, and we just forget that what we're saying in that. Jesus is saying, we want what's happening in heaven to be here. And the only way we can do that is to bring it by the lives we live. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are world changers by the authority of the Master who created it all. When Jesus sent out the 70, you can read about this in the Gospels in Luke chapter 10, and you can read about it. He sent out 70 of them to go out two by two and be able to spread the kingdom. And when they came back, they were shocked. Lord, even the devils jump out when we say it. I mean, they were blown away, man. They were like, we're casting out demons and stuff like that, and stuff's really happening. It's kind of like getting healed from cancer. It's like, wow, that just happened. And beforehand, in faith part of it, when you're praying, you're going, Lord, I need you. I'm leaning on your promises. This is what I'm going to do. And then you get on the other side, and you go, wait a minute. That just happened. That's why I want the prayer team praying over me every Sunday. Because the only way I can do this is if I want to be covered in Holy Spirit. I want to be covered in everything about it. And you need that same thing. Some of you need to be here with Lisa. Is Lisa in the room right now? Where are you, Lisa? Oh, there you are. So Lisa has started every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We're up here working worship, music and things. She meets every Wednesday night. Somebody meets in that prayer room back there at 6 o'clock. Some of you need to be over here on Wednesday night letting these people pray Holy Spirit over you. Some people, you need some power, some authority in your life. He said, well, I don't have to come to a room in a building to be able to do that. No, you don't have to. Facts, most of you don't. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Every time I get a chance, I'm going to clean me out a spot right here, and I want the Jennifers and the David Supplers and the people that are praying, I want them praying. I want them walking around me praying. I want them laying their hands on me praying. I have to have it. I can't breathe without it. Spiritually, and you can't either, and you're trying, but you give that up, give all that up. And so I'm saying, where is all of this authority? Jesus said, look, I've given you the authority over the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. I don't know if that's literal or not. I ain't about to step up on a snake. I'm not going to tote one. I'm not going to be around one. If I get to one, I'm going to shoot his brains out. I don't care if he's poison, non-poison. Only good snake is a dead snake. Amen, church? Come on. But he said, we have power over those things. I believe those things mostly represent the evil that's in our world. And I crush it. I don't have to deal with it anymore. When the temptation of looking at stuff on the internet that I shouldn't comes up, or the temptation to yell at some of y'all, or scream at somebody, or cut somebody off in traffic, I don't have to because I stand on the authority of Jesus. And when you stand on that kind of authority, that stuff runs from you. It's amazing. Some of you are afraid to pronounce it out loud because you've seen people abuse this kind of power or whatever. But you and I need to start saying it out loud. Let your kids out at school. In Jesus' name, the devil, you have no authority over my children today. When you walk out of your house, no authority in here. You walk in your house, no authority in here. When you get in your car, ain't but one authority, and that's Jesus Christ. Going to get you from wherever to wherever. And the more and more and more we speak, are y'all hearing this? Is this okay? I'm going to get to point two, but this authority thing just gets all up inside of me. We have authority in Jesus' name by his authority against rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. How many of y'all ever seen that? I know it's there. I don't know that God let some people see some stuff in the Bible. You can read those stories where the heavens were ripped open. You see all these people that are fighting for us, angels and principalities and powers and all this thing. This is real stuff. This is not special effects. This is not Star Wars. I'm a big Star Wars fan. This is not the Force, and this isn't a lightsaber and all the cool things. This is the God of heaven fighting for you in places you can't even see him fighting.
He's going before you ever see it happen, and he's moving things out of the way. And you say, well, what happened that day that I had that wreck? I don't understand it. Don't start asking me questions. I told them that's not when I got my testimony. I don't understand why I get a healing and some don't. I don't understand that. In fact, sometimes I feel guilty about it. I look at other people that didn't get a healing. I think, but they're a better person than I am. But it's not about being a better person or not being a better person. It's about living in the authority of Christ. And as much authority as I think I can walk in that, I can't. You don't beat death. You don't beat those things. You live accepting what God's going to do in your life. And can I just say a word to our men? Some of you are at an age right now, you're like me. You want to leave a good legacy. I've more sand on the bottom of your hourglass than on top of it. So you know what I'm talking about? Brothers, can I just call you out right now and say you need to be walking in strength. You don't need to be walking scared and afraid and walking and stepping back and afraid to pray and talk and those things. I get it. I've been there. I know that. And sometimes when I say these things, I think, well, yeah, but you're a preacher now. You're supposed to pray and you're supposed to do all those things. This wasn't easy to get here, man. None of this is easy. We need women of God stepping up and praying. We need kids of God, teens of God, just permeating the world with the authority of Christ in love. And that's the last point. I'll get there in just a little bit, okay? In his authority, we are. Did I miss a point? No, there it is. In his authority, we're two things. We're ambassadors and we're reconcilers. Big words, right? Basically, ambassadors are people who speak for someone else. We have U.S. ambassadors that go to the other countries and speak for all of us. That's a lot of authority. Speaking for all of us, right? We're speaking for God. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus did the work. He did the reconciling. The word reconcile means bringing two things that were together that came apart back together. God was with Adam and Eve. They sinned. They broke the covenant and separated themselves from God. And from Genesis 3:15 all the way forward in the Bible, the whole Bible is about them coming back together with God. And it's God's pursuit of you. I say it all the time. He's not out to get you. He's out to get you. He wants you. He loves you so much. He's not going to stop. He never has. We do the same thing. And just there's another aside sermon. Don't give up on people. Just love people and keep loving people and keep loving people. And if they die without Jesus and you're loving people, that's on them. But love people. Love people. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. We have the message that Jesus is the one who's the reconciler. He's bringing it back together. So we're Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. There is no plan B, y'all. God chose us to do it. And we're ambassadors and reconcilers. He says, look at the plea. Look what the plea is. You dirty sinners, what's wrong? No, the plea is come back to God. Would you just come back? Some of you don't even know they left him. And as amazing as authority is, he's left it to us to do number two, and that is make disciples. Make disciples. We walk in the authority that I just spent almost the whole sermon time on to be able to make disciples. He says, therefore, since you have that authority, I've been given all authority, Jesus said, therefore, since that's true, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. So there's your commission. Your commission is to teach, baptize, and teach. It's in right there in the text. And he's speaking to the 11 apostles at that time. He's speaking to them, but the mandate is for all. And the word go here doesn't mean like, okay, I got to be a missionary, and I got to go to the African Congo, and I've got to go to Guatemala or wherever. You can do all those things. In fact, Steve and Connie will talk to you about it. We're putting together a team right now. It's going to be doing some missions on the other side of the planet. That's all good and fun. It's good to go across town and serve. It's good to serve here and give groceries away, to go and do that. But the word literally means as you are going. It means as you are living your life every day, teach, baptize, and teach. So that's the mandate. And so this idea of teaching is making disciples. It's actually following along somebody else is doing it. So we think making disciples is about, you know, let's get a Sunday school group or a small group or let's do that. And all those are great ways. We do that through small groups a lot here. But it's really more like, hey, I'm following Jesus. Would you follow me? It's what the disciples did. There was a saying among the rabbis, may the dust of your rabbi be upon you. Meaning that in a dusty world, when you walk so close to the guy in front of you, his dust gets on you. And that's our commission to do that. And baptism is that outward expression of something that happens on the inside. We're going to have a baptism Sunday on Easter Sunday this year. So be planning for that. If you know or you yourself need to walk through that step in your life, it's going to be a day for you to do that. Now, that being said, you don't have to wait till Easter. You call me, we'll take care of it. The Philippian jailer was baptized at 1 o'clock in the morning, best we can tell. So just call. We'll work that out. We'll make it happen. But it's an outward expression of an inward truth. It is a command. It is something Jesus did to fulfill righteousness, he said. And he wasn't even a sinner. He didn't do it for remission of sins like we do. But he did it because of he wanted to, hey, I'm an example here to show you. And it becomes a way to express what God's already doing. Jesus died, he was buried, and he arose. When you give yourself over in baptism, it's someone whose belief, we believe in believer, we teach believers baptism, that is someone who believes who Christ is. He is Lord. He is Lord. I've accepted that truth. Now we bury the old person to raise the new person back up. It's a death, burial, and resurrection. It's a symbolic. We don't leave you under the water. That would be really bad. But we bring you back up out of that. Making disciples, I read this in a commentary this week. It says, making disciples entails both preaching and response. Now, when you say preaching, I know what y'all are thinking. You got to be up here. That's not what that's about. It's literally sharing the message of Jesus, but there's a response to that. And the response expected of new disciples in that particular text is baptism and more teaching. It's the idea of being baptized, raise up so you can learn more. It's a growth process. If you want a Christianese word for it, it's sanctification. It's literally living your life, learning every day. Colossians says this, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to follow him. There's the teaching part of that. Let your roots grow down deep into him, Paul says, and let your lives be built on him. See all those words? We're talking about frame here and frameworking our life. Outreach and reaching out to other people is just part of that. It's letting your roots grow down deep, and as you grow, giving it to someone else. And as I said, we use small groups as basically our tool to do that. I'm loving my small groups this time. Tuesday night's kind of different. We're studying premillennialism. We're studying the end times, unlike I've ever studied it before. And I'm in there out of curiosity. I want to see what I can learn and grow in. And just to be honest with you, it's just jacking up my world. I'm just like, man, what am I thinking? What is this over here? And what does that mean? I'm learning that. Saturday morning, we meet at Publix up here. Me and Todd and some guys, we meet up here. And Keith's in that group. And David's in that group. And and Zach's in that group. I could go around that room. I'm going to miss somebody. But we're learning how to be kingdom men. This is a place where we teach one another. Making disciples is a process. It's a calling. It's a mission. And listen, there's no other way we can do it without the presence of Christ. So go back to the authority. Point number three. And we always, and this is so cool, we always have the presence of Jesus. We always have his presence. I'm so grateful for my Lord in lots of different ways, but this statement he makes, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that good? It's like when you go to a department store, a grocery store, whatever, and you walk up to a worker and you say, can you show me, or can you tell me where the, you know, sweet pickles are? And you know you've got somebody that don't know what they're doing when the first thing they do is they grit the apparatus out at Walmart and they say, hang on just a second. And then they do this. Oh, it's over on aisle number 7 over there. And that might be pretty close, actually. I'm gone enough now that I know. But aisle 7, and it's about halfway down, and you're like 16 aisles away from aisle 7. And you just, it's so much better when they say, hey, here's where it is. I'll go show you. Come on, I'll walk with you. And you walk with them, and they show you. Oh, here they are right here. Here they are right here. I just want one of those apparatuses so I don't have to ask them anymore. But anyway, that's the way evangelism, that's the way teaching is, that's the way discipling people is. It's God is with me. And Jesus doesn't say, now y'all go do your thing. He says, come on, let's go do our thing together. And he's right with you. And when you say to somebody, can I pray over you? And they say yes, and you start doing that. You don't have to worry about what to say. You don't have to worry about how you say it. You just walk in the authority of Christ, and his presence is with you. Matthew starts his whole account this way. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Matthew begins his book God is with us. And he ends his book by Jesus saying, I will never leave you. I will always be here with you. It's a pretty good book ends, man. The presence of God in our life. Telling the good news is our focus in our life. It's why we exist. And in the world that we exist in, to help save people from death and to give people eternal life, I want to end this message probably with the most important point. I've already given you the clue. You probably already filled in the blank. That we tell the good news in love. I started this message by telling you nothing will aggravate a lost person more than you telling them they're lost. Even if you say it good. Even if you're just really nice about it. People don't like to know they're lost. Now, since the invention of the GPS, we don't do this very much anymore. But if you're ever in a car and you know where you're going, guys, and your wife is over there, your girlfriend, she's sitting over there, and you get lost, it is somewhere in the man code book somewhere. We ain't admitting it for nothing in the world. We're going to find this thing. We know where we're going. And if she ever says, you know, I think, no, don't even say it. Don't even say it. I'm not lost. And we know we are. We know we're lost. Yeah, I've been through here before. I remember this thing. Yeah, it's the same story we passed five times. We are lost. And there's nothing more freeing than to just confess it. God, I'm lost. Dear, I'm lost. Can you help me? Really? You may be sitting in this room thinking, man, I don't know where you are. We do this in the services a lot. We try to guess at where people are. I'm not guessing at all. I believe in an audience this size, and especially somebody online out there could be sitting there thinking, you know, man, I'm just not even sure. I don't know what that means. I think I'm saved, but I really don't know. I don't know. I'll give you two words that's going to help you understand better. Jesus is our example. The Word, in John chapter 1, Jesus is called the Word. Another sermon for another time, too much to talk about now. Trust me. Most of your translations will capitalize the word Word. It is in this one, the New Living Translation. The Word became flesh. That means God moved in the neighborhood and became flesh. God, omnipresent, became not omnipresent. God, omnipowerful, became not omnipowerful. He had all the power and authority, but Jesus walked on this earth for 30 years before he unleashed it. He knew what it was like to stump his toe. God stumps his toe. Cuts and bruises and all the things that we just know are part of life. Jesus didn't know that. He emptied himself of deity and became that. And it's even deeper than that. He knew what it was like to be tempted. Scripture says in every point, like as I am, and you are. Yet he didn't sin. But he knew what it was like. He emptied himself of all of that. It says this in John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Everybody say grace. Everybody say truth. Two important words here. And out of the fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law, this is the old covenant way of doing things. If you're not familiar with that, basically it was the way of doing things where every year you got told you were a sinner and you had to sacrifice more animals. And every year you were reminded that none of those animals that died were really worth anything. It was faith in God that meant everything. Jesus came as the perfect lamb who sacrificed for me, for you. And I'm convinced if you're the only one left, if you're the only one, he would have done it for you. He loved you that much. He was full, the Bible says. The law was given through Moses. The law told you how you could be a sinner, and told you how you were a sinner, and reminded you all the time. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Those two words are important. Truth is that people need to know they're lost. People need to know that there are sins that separate you from God. People need to understand that at some level. And to some people, Jesus was very strict about it. And if you read the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, those stories about Jesus, he was harder on religious people than anybody. He just was. He would say things like, "You religious people, you are like whitewashed tombs. You look great on the outside. Your tomb is all, but there's dead men's bones on the inside." He said, "You take all this time to make sure your dishes are clean on the outside, but when I get your coffee cup and I look in it to drink, to pour some coffee, and I see coffee stains all up in it, I gently put it back and I pass." The point he's trying to make is sometimes on the outside we look all nice and clean. That's church. But on the inside, what's real happening? It's one of the things I try my best to emulate for you guys, and that is that I'm just a real human. So funny. If you missed last week, I started my sermon off with zipping up my fly. And Liz was sitting back here about where Andrea is on the back row on this side that day. She didn't get in in time. She was with her husband. She usually sits up here. She said, "I was so glad I was on the back row today." And she was picking at me about it. She's picking at me about it. But, and if I offended you in that, I apologize. I really do. I don't want to make anybody upset about stuff like that. But you just have to understand, we're just real people. We're just real people. And so, truth, sometimes Jesus had to say to them, "Look, this is truth." And he always told the truth. But most of the time, Jesus had this in his life. It was full of grace. And the grace he would show to people like the woman at the well and the prostitutes. People like the tax collectors who ripped people off thousands and thousands and millions of dollars. I mean, he ripped them off all the time. He was nice to those people. Jesus was counted amongst sinners. "Why don't you tell your disciples to wash their hands?" I just wish Jesus would have come back with like a southern thing. "Because I don't want to." They're so concerned about the religious. Jesus just saying, "Why don't your disciples do this?" "Well, when I die, they will. They'll grieve, they'll fast, they'll do the things they should. When I'm gone, they'll fast a whole lot." See, grace needs to happen, but truth needs to happen. Because here's the truth of both of those things. All grace and no truth is meaningless. If you have all grace and no truth, it means nothing. And people try to run their churches that way. We want to be so gracious, sometimes we err on the side of grace to the point that we just don't tell the truth about lots of things. We can't do that. Truth, on the other hand, without grace, is just mean. I grew up with a lot of mean in church. Either scenario puts us in danger of refusing Jesus altogether. It puts people saying, if you give them all truth, and they're like, "Well, I can't do that anyway, so why try to serve him?" But if you give them all grace, it doesn't mean anything either. It's like, I can do whatever I want to do, God's still going to love me. And while that's true, Paul says in Romans 6, it's not an excuse to sin. It's just not. It's not. When Jesus became flesh into this world, he's trying to teach us that I want to understand how you feel, give my life for you, so that one day I can stand before my Father and I can be your ambassador. I can be your mediator. Did you guys realize when we end a message, when we end a sermon, I mean a prayer, with "in Jesus' name," as long as you understand that you don't have to say that every time, but if you say it every time, when you say "in Jesus' name I pray, amen," and everybody goes, "amen." I try to listen to prayers because sometimes I don't want to amen what they pray. But that's another sermon. But "in Jesus' name, amen" means something. You are invoking the power, the authority of the one who has the authority over everything, both in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and in the heavenly realms. You can't go to a place where he's not. Even in places where you think you're hiding from him, he's there because he loves you. So what determines the choice? Is it your ability to share the gospel with somebody that determines the choice that they make? I hope not. When you share the good news of Jesus with people, what determines whether they accept or refuse is their heart. Jesus told a whole story about the parable of the sower. Some seed falls on stony ground. Some seeds fall on the pathway. Some seeds fall in good soil. And when it does, it grows. Outreach is not just a good thing to do. It is necessary. God created us to reproduce physically as well. And the final thing I want you to walk out of here with is this. Let's just stand up. Stand up with me. Prayer team, you can take your places if you will. For our guests, the people who are walking out to the edges of the room right here, these are people who've given their life over to prayer and leading prayer and helping you with prayer. And so they want to help you right now. They want you to come and pray if that's your, whatever it is you need to pray about. That's what they're there for. Now the final thing is this. Heaven and hell are both real. Did y'all get that? Heaven is real. It's being prepared, but it is a real destination for us. Hell is also real. And the one thing the enemy's done in our culture is convinced even Christians that the devil doesn't exist. What a great deception. If I'm your enemy and I can prove to you that I'm really not your enemy, but I'm still the enemy, that's easy defeat. I got you. We have to understand that he's real. He has no authority over Christ. And your only way to get to where God is to submit your life to him. And somebody today has somebody outside this building that's not here today that you know right now that they've never named Jesus as Lord. They've never submitted to baptism. They've never repented of their sins. They've never confessed Jesus. They've never taken those steps. You know it for a fact. You're not judging their soul. You're just worried because they're lost. I tell you, if you know that person and you do love them very deeply, I don't know how we can go to sleep tonight. And I think we do it a lot. We go to sleep knowing they are, and we hadn't done anything about it that day. Let me just encourage you to reach out. If you'll simply get a text and send it to them that just says, hey, I got some good news I need to share with you. Can we do lunch this week? Nobody's refusing that. First, it's lunch. Then they're going to tell you some good news. And we all need some good news in our world. Amen? Father God, we pray this morning over this group, over the people listening online in this moment. Father, you're just so powerful, authoritative, but just that loving and kind, unconditional love from you, God. Just I praise you, Father, for your greatness, your majesty. So, God, as we speak to you, we're asking, Lord, for you to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, feet that are not afraid to walk in a path to where somebody is who does not know who you are. To walk in the authority of Christ today. To walk making disciples of other people. To walk, Lord, baptizing, teaching, doing all the things that we need to do in order to help people find who you are. God, supersede all of our failed efforts and all of our difficulties and all those things, Lord, and help us to see the fruit of our labors. People giving their life over to Jesus, the one who said he would never ever leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Jesus, for walking with us every day. Thank you for putting Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for being in my life and in this place. God, thank you. Thank you that you're a kind of Father that we can trust and know that we can lean into your promises, that you forgive our sins and you heal our diseases and you bless us day in, day out, all the time. Your mercies are new every morning. So we praise you, Father, and honor you for those things. Help us to be who we need to be, to share the word with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning, if you do not want to leave here, you don't know who Jesus is, you want to make him Lord, please don't leave here without taking that first step. The first step is literally to believe, is to you say it out loud. I believe he's Lord. You've convinced me. I believe it. I don't even know what it means. I don't know how it works. I don't understand it all, but I do believe, and I trust in that. That's your first step. And we want to help you with any other step. If you've already made that step and you want to be water baptized, you don't have to wait till Easter Sunday to do that. In fact, I encourage you not to. Talk to me. We'll make it happen. It's just too good not to share. So we're going to worship. We're going to worship with just how great is our God. Just, we want you to sing that. I want you to praise him for all he's done. The splendor of who he is amazing. We're just going to praise him for a moment in this time. If you want to step out and walk to a prayer team warrior all around this room, please don't miss that opportunity. Go and pray while we sing. He stands. He's never leaving. Never.
In age to age, he stands. And time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three.
Above all names.
He's the name above all names. Worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Let's sing that chorus, man. Just your voices. Come on. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And always sing how great is our God. So, Father, we end our service today. We in this moment in time, Father, with just a praise and honor to you for being, sending Jesus, the name above all names, worthy of our praise. Our hearts sing it. Our voices sing it. Help us to get out of this building, Lord, and go live it. whether it's here locally in our community or in another world somewhere else, Father, give us the ability, give us the vision to reach out to other people and help all the other brothers and sisters in this area who are doing the same thing, God, in some way. It may look different from us, God, but we are so grateful to be a part of the Big C Church. People just going every day, just blessing somebody and doing it in the name of Jesus. And it's through him and by his authority and in his name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, you guys today, God bless you. Could you just give God a hand clap, please? Well, I just like to end with that. As you are leaving today, let me encourage all of our partners to be sure to give. If you do that in-house, in the black boxes that Scott mentioned earlier, to do that,